在线英语听力室 ,teamroom.com, 欢迎您。
Violet and Klaus looked down at the ground and saw Klaus's coat sitting alone in a little heap. They looked down the dock, but only saw the fickle ferry ticket booth and the foamy waters of the lake darkening in the gloom of the late afternoon. "She's gone!" Klaus cried, but Violet put a finger to her lips and stood on tiptoe to look in the window again. Sunny was crawling through the open door of the shack,flattening her little body enough so as not to open the door any wider. "She's inside," Violet murmured. "In the shack?" Klaus said in a horrified gasp. "Oh, no, we have to stop her." "She's crawling very slowly toward that person," Violet said, afraid even to blink. "We promised our parents we'd take care of her," Klaus said. "We can't let her do this." "She's reaching toward the key ring," Violet said breathlessly. "She's gently prying it loose from the person's hand." "Don't tell me any more," Klaus said as a bolt of lightning streaked across the sky. "No, do tell me. What is happening?" "She has the keys," Violet said. "She's putting them in her mouth to hold them. She's crawling back toward the door. She's flattening herself and crawling through." "She's made it," Klaus said in amazement. Sunny came crawling triumphantly toward the orphans, the keys in her mouth. "Violet, she made it," Klaus said, giving Sunny a hug as a huge boom of thunder echoed across the sky. Violet smiled down at Sunny, but stopped smiling when she looked back into the shack. The thunder had awoken Count Olaf's comrade, and Violet watched in dismay as the person looked at its empty hand where the key ring had been, and then down on the floor where Sunny had left little crawl prints of rainwater, and then up to the window and right into Violet's eyes. "She's awake!" Violet shrieked. "He's awake! It's awake! Hurry, Klaus, open the gate and I'll try to distract it!" Without another word, Klaus took the key ring from Sunny's mouth and hurried to the tall metal gate. There were three keys on the ring, a skinny one, a thick one, and one with teeth as jagged as the glistening spikes hanging over the children. He put the atlas down on the ground and began to try the skinny key in the lock, just as Count Olaf's comrade came lumbering out of the shack. Her heart in her throat, Violet stood in front of the creature and gave it a fake smile. "Good afternoon," she said, not knowing whether to add sir or madam. "I seem to have gotten lost on this dock. Could you tell me the way to the fickle ferry?" Count Olaf's comrade did not answer, but kept shuffling toward the orphans. The skinny key fit into the lock but didn't budge, and Klaus tried the thick one. "I'm sorry," Violet said. "I didn't hear you. Could you tell me?" Without a word, the mountainous person grabbed Violet by the hair and with one swing of its arm lifted her up over its smelly shoulder the way you might carry a backpack. Klaus couldn't get the thick key to fit in the lock and tried the jagged one, just as the person scooped up Sunny with his other hand and held her up the way you might hold an ice cream cone. "Klaus!" Violet screamed. "Klaus!" The jagged key wouldn't fit in the lock either. Klaus, in frustration, shook and shook the metal gate. Violet was kicking the creature from behind, and Sunny was biting its wrist, but the person was so Brobdingnagian, a word which here means unbelievably husky, that the children were causing it minimal pain, a phrase which here means no pain at all. Count Olaf's comrade lumbered toward Klaus, holding the other two orphans in its grasp. In desperation, Klaus tried the skinny key again in the lock, and to his surprise and relief, it turned and the tall metal gate swung open. Just a few feet away were six sailboats tied to the end of the dock with thick rope, sailboats that could take them to Aunt Josephine. But Klaus was too late. He felt something grab the back of his shirt, and he was lifted up in the air. Something slimy began running down his back, and Klaus realized with horror that the person was holding him in his or her mouth. "Put me down!" Klaus screamed. "Put me down!" "Put me down!" Violet yelled. "Put me down!" "Potoriche!" Sunny shrieked. "Potoriche!" But the lumbering creature had no concern for the wishes of the Baudelaire orphans. With great sloppy steps, it turned itself around and began to carry the youngsters back toward the shack. The children heard the gloppy sound of its chubby feet sloshing through the rain. Gumpsh! 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 But then, instead of a gumpsh, there was a skittlewat as the person stepped on Aunt Josephine's atlas, which slipped from under its feet. Count Olaf's comrade waved its arms to keep its balance, dropping Violet and Sunny, and then fell to the ground, opening its mouth in surprise and dropping Klaus. The orphans, being in reasonably good physical shape, got to their feet much more quickly than this despicable creature, and ran through the open gate to the nearest sailboat. The creature struggled to right itself and chase them, but Sunny had already bitten the rope that tied the boat to the dock. By the time the creature reached the spiky metal gate, the orphans were already on the stormy waters of Lake Lachrymose. In the dim light of the late afternoon, Klaus wiped the grime of the creature's foot off the cover of the atlas and began to read it. Aunt Josephine's book of maps had saved them once in showing them the location of Curdled Cave, and now it had saved them again.
End of Disc 2.